Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Finally happened. Only took 10 tries.
Man.
But on that final 10th try, we found out that William Edward Wagner, also known as Billy Wagner, the 5'9 left-handed closer for your Houston Astros, is going into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. He will be going in with a pretty solid class. CC Sabathia, Ichiro Suzuki, they'll join the guys who were on the classic era, the Dave Parker and Dick Allen. That'll be the 2025 class that gets inducted July 27th into that Hall of Fame. And man, what an incredible day for Houston Astros fan, and of course, more importantly, for Billy Wagner and his family.
Billy Wagner was, first of all, it's silly, and we'll get into it a little more here, that it took 10 years, you know, for him to get in. He was a...
Take that, Ocho.
He was a no-brainer. Like, he was electrifying. And I think, you know, people talk about the system, and like I said, we're going to get into it. But I think one of the true determinants in whether a guy is a Hall of Famer is, was he the absolute best at what he did for an extended period of time? Billy Wagner was. I mean, there's you can talk about Hoffman, you can talk about others, and I was at that stadium damn near 70% of the time, you know, for that era, because I was at the Chronicle writing, and he was electrifying. He was clearly the best closer in the National League for an extended period of time. You could argue in baseball. And it's just it was one of those moments where I kept refreshing and looking to see if there were any reports, you know, if he finally got in, and then there were, and then they had the announcement, and we saw the video of him crying.
Yeah, I wanted to pull audio, but there's not really
audio. It's just him sobbing.
It's just him sobbing. Which, by the way, I wish that this was a video medium so I could show you what I'm talking about. But if you watch the video, one, you're moved by clearly how much it means to him, and two, I don't know why I went here. I was like, hey, man, he's still got the base. If you get him up on the mound, I feel like he can still find the power within that base to hit 100 if he wants to.
You would go into that stadium, and after he threw a pitch, all eyes would immediately go to the, you know, how fast was it? I mean, he would hit 102. I remember I saw him hit 103. Left-hander, which the ball, as everybody will tell you, automatically moves anyway. He didn't really have to throw any other pitch. You know, left-hander fastball has an incredible movement on it. He was a no-brainer Hall of Famer, which leads to the question of what took so long. It's just silly.
Yeah. Before I get there, I do want to make sure that one of the things I love about baseball is that the numbers do not deviate too far from like the play, right? There's these other sports. It's tough, man. Football, it's an easy, you can easily see a player where it's like, yeah, but you got to be there to understand it, right? Yeah. Basketball, there's some of those guys where you go, yeah, the numbers are there, but you got to be there to understand it. Mm-hmm. The numbers in baseball are going to give you a good indication. And I was alluding to some of this, right? Some of the things, he's now the ninth pitcher in the Hall of Fame who was primarily a reliever. So we're seeing relievers get their due here, which I appreciate when it comes to trends. And we'll talk some of the trends that it feels like this induction class might be pointing to. Mm-hmm. 225 of his career, 422 saves were in his nine seasons with Houston. 2.31 career ERA.
Think about that.
And a 1.00 whip. Those are the lowest amongst retired lefties in the live ball era. So, like, boom, that is huge, right? You go to some other ones. His 187 opponent average and his 588 opponent OPS are the lowest since the year 1900.
Yeah.
And then also 11.9 strikeouts per nine innings is the best in MLB history. Like, these are things that are undeniable for
him.
As a left-handed pitcher and now one of only nine relievers in the Hall of Fame.
And if you want to do a little personal homework assignment, just Mariano Rivera, people say greatest closer of all time, right?
Yeah, 2019 inductee.
Compare Billy Wagner's numbers to his. Not only are they comparable, they're better in a lot of cases. So it was kind of silly. You know, I was kidding around earlier with you guys. Did you know that his first ballot, you know, his first year on the ballot, he only got 10% of the votes? 10%. And now what, it was 84, 80-something to finally get in and get past that 75% through. He didn't have more saves from the first year on the ballot to the save. You know, he didn't play any games. Like, it's just silly that you can't, you know, they have this standard, and baseball writers are, as I mentioned earlier, just conceited, and they think they're the keepers of the game, and, does he deserve it, and all this other stuff, and he has to wait, and no, he has to wait. That's silly. You're either a Hall of Famer or you're not.
Well, I feel like yes, yeah. But then also, yeah, the fact that people try and like create,
they punish him. Well, he's got to wait.
It's weird.
Why does he have to wait?
But I also think that inherently, because of the way that the system works, that I don't necessarily put as much into it took a certain amount of time for people to get
but
it.
But Billy Wagner, this is where I would argue with you on
is that. He's good enough that.
This is where I would argue with that point. And I get your point, and I've heard it a million times, you know, well, you know, whatever. He was this close to not being a Hall of Famer. And as I just mentioned, he compares extremely favorably to Mariano Rivera.
Sure.
So he to have a chance, that's why he was weeping. This was it.
Yeah.
If he didn't get in, that's it.
It was going to be it. Eventually, you can maybe end up in the classic era, but that's much delayed.
That's criminal.
And I really hate, I hate that dudes have to end up on the classic era, because a lot of times, like, man, there's dudes who, they don't get a chance to get their flowers when they should. And that's what the Hall of Fame, I think, largely is. I understand it's a keeping of the game and telling of the stories that made the game into what it is. But I think there's also an appreciation for, man, you're giving these dudes their flowers.
Yeah.
Right. And I guess being considered amongst the Hall of Famers matters in a large degree, too. I was watching MLB Network yesterday just because, I mean, you're in that space.
Yeah.
And you talk about just the number of kids that play baseball in this game, in this nation. And the you pair that down to the people that can actually play in college at a high level, and the people that will play in the minors, or the people that will be drafted, and then the people that will be MLB star, you know, make it to the bigs.
Sustain it.
And the people that will sustain it. And then the people that will ultimately be considered for the Hall of Fame. That number, that pool gets so much smaller. Mm-hmm. So even just being considered, but now he gets to be one of the few that were in there. He goes in with Ichiro Suzuki, who gets 393 of 394 votes. So he falls one short of being unanimous. He joins, what is it, Derek Jeter in that honor of falling one short of unanimity. And the only one who has been unanimous to this point is Mariano Rivera. Like, how does that hit you? Because I feel like everybody immediately jumped on the witch hunt of who did it.
Yeah, well.
Who did it?
Well, it hits me like this. First of all, those ballots can be anonymous. I've been a Hall of Fame, baseball Hall of Fame voter.
That's right.
I stopped voting about 3 years ago, kind of because I hate the process and I hate the silliness of it all. So I begged out. And what they do is there's on the form. It used to be a handwritten form. Now it's electronic.
It electronic now? I thought they still do a handwritten.
Well, I'm assuming. Maybe that's a big assumption.
I'm pretty sure they still do a handwritten.
It used to, because I've seen the pictures of the handwritten, but I thought that was just for whatever.
I think they still do a handwritten.
Okay, maybe
baseball, man. Either way, be real traditional about this.
There's a box at the bottom of the ballot that says, would you want your ballot to be made public? And you can click yes or no. A lot of people can click no or check no. That's dumb. That's dumb. Because that's just another part of the process that's just, it's incredible. For Ichiro Suzuki, I mean, you talk about numbers. For Ichiro Suzuki to not be unanimous, that is, and I'm not trying to be dramatic here, that's like Hank Aaron or Babe Ruth not being unanimous. Oh, by the way, they weren't.
Yeah. I mean, the only
just imagine somebody saying, nah.
Not Babe Ruth.
Nah. Literally, the only one who has been unanimous is Mariano Rivera, Rivera. Now, you talk about kind of the ridiculous, you know, portion of this. One of the things that I've been strong on, and I know there's going to be maybe more traditionalists that are like, no, they feel strongly about it, is like the steroid era and the ways that they have been blackballed in some ways, or seemingly blackballed, but not exclusively, because there's dudes that have been in that era that have made it through that have also had like suspicions at the very least that have gone in. It feels like it's, do you like this player or not? But still, does it feel like we might be having a shift there? Because Carlos Beltran fell 19 votes short of induction with a 70.3%. And then also Andrew Jones. Well, Andrew Jones doesn't fall in. But also Andy Pettitte had a big rise as well in voting. Now, of course, he didn't immediately get to a place where he was like really, really close, but he did have a big jump. Does it feel like you're getting a new pool of voters in that are maybe less inclined to do the blackballing on the steroids era, and maybe we'll see some guys get in?
100%. It's almost like they said, and this goes back to the conceit of some of the old voters and maybe some of the new voters saying, I don't care. I think it's a combination of that. I think some of the conceit of the old voters is he's done his time. I'll start voting for him now. He hasn't thrown another pitch. He has not thrown another pitch.
I just don't understand that, man.
Yes.
It's like, this ain't the Supreme Court, man, no. Where he's like, all right, he did his time, so we get vote for him now.
Yeah.
He still got the same career.
And he still was implicated in the Mitchell report and all that stuff.
It's all, nothing changed.
Nothing has changed, but, oh, yeah, we showed him, and now we'll vote for him. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, and even if that person do make the Hall of Fame, it's still the same thing.
Everything is the same.
Like, it's nothing tainted.
Everything is the same. it drives me nuts. And actually, we're talking about on the question of the day, you know, that what really is your kind of
sports hate?
Sports hate. Your sports hater opinion.
I almost put this, but I don't think it's just hater. I think it's legitimate. Like, you should hate the way they do things.
Yeah. I would like to see some of those get in, although I will say, in looking at the tracker again, of the voters' ballots that we know, which again, this is just percentages. You had Andy Pettit ended up with 32% of the vote, so he still got some distance here. Mm-hmm. But supposedly the 2026 ballot, one of the things that makes it tough, and again, this is where the numbers, process matters, is who are the people that are coming in that are going to immediately command ballots that are going to maybe make it so that these other guys that are already on the ballot are, going to be pushed down. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a strong new class of guys on the Hall of Fame ballot. So maybe, you get to a point where you'll add some of these guys in and, the likes of maybe Carlos Beltran will be able to get over the top. Mm-hmm. Will you see something grow from Alex Rodriguez, maybe Andy Pettit?
Probably Alex Rodriguez, right?
I don't know. I feel like people just don't like him.
Yeah.
Like, that is less about him as a player. That is just,
he was a good player, man.
No, but that's another aspect of the whole process.
Best shortstop on that team.
Is he the best or not? Forget how you feel about him.
Yeah.
Man. Forget how you feel about him.
But all these people being their feelings, man. Mm-hmm. They don't even think about that part. They just think what type of person he is. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, like, shout out to CC Sabathia getting in, because that's also another one where it feels like we're getting a little bit of a shift in thought process, because you've heard the phrase Hall of Very Good. Yeah. CC Sabathia feels like one of those guys that if you are a Hall of Very Good person, you go, oh, there he is. Mm-hmm. And yet he goes in swimmingly 342 of 394 votes. I feel like we might be getting to a place where we're a little bit more permissive and enjoying the guys that gave us joy.
I ain't want to say that out loud, but I'm like, dang, is he a Hall of Famer?
Like, he sure is. He really is.
He is now.
He was always good. But
big boy, like, gave us, big boy was never, real good and gave us a great time.
I never looked at him and said, man, that is a Hall of Famer right there. During his career, always good.
I get it.
Wow, I thought the sports hater opinions was earlier. Figgy, you just gonna bring out some hater.
I remember watching Millie Wagner, trying to be as objective as possible because you're writing a column, and I'm multiple times where I was like, this dude, he's the best in the game.
I do appreciate
he's the best in the game.
Was CC ever the best in the game?
That's what I'm saying. That's what made me think about that again. Like, I never really
thought. And I love CC. Yeah. It was one of my favorite players growing up. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I never looked at him as the best in the game.
Yeah.
One of the things I loved is, we're running up against it, but one of the things I loved is, like, also just circling back on Billy Wagner's story.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, D3 guy, dude who was, like, 5'5 pitching, and, like, he fell and broke his arm, his right arm, which is technically his dominant arm, and that's ultimately why he ended up being a lefty. Throwing a baseball, like, just a phenomenal story. And if it reads like a lot of sports stories, just like this improbable situation. Yeah. And with all of that improbability and reaching the final time on the ballot that you can make it in, congratulations, Billy Wagner. You are a Hall of Famer. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including a trade in basketball that I'm wondering, does this change at all, like, the perspective for the Rockets? I'll tell you what I mean next.